Hi, and welcome to this audio edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? With host Doris Hansen. On this program, we discuss polygamy and Mormon fundamentalism from a biblical Christian perspective. We talk about the history of polygamy, its modern-day fruit, share stories from people who have escaped polygamy, and talk about current events relating to polygamy. You can learn more about the video edition of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. And now, here's Doris.
Good evening. Welcome to the show tonight, Polygamy, What Love Is This? My name is Doris Hansen, and it's my privilege to be the host of the program and to welcome you to our show. This is where we openly discuss the aspects of Mormon-based polygamy without fear and without compromise. We are broadcasting live from Salt Lake City, Utah, and our telephone number is 801-973-8820. That's 801-973-TV20. And if you have questions or comments that you would rather email to us, you can send them to our email tv@aboutpolygamy.com. And we also like to welcome our viewers from the Boise, Nampa, Idaho area. They watch our show on Sunday afternoons from 4 until 5 p.m. on KCLP Channel 18 in the Boise, Nampa, Idaho area. And of course, all of our previous programs can be watched on streaming video on our website, whatloveisthis.tv. If you want to access the top questions that are asked, you can go to whatloveisthis.tv/answers. And if you want to learn more about us, about our ministry, and about polygamy, you can go to our website, shieldandrefuge.org. To find out how to receive free resources, we have DVD and information on polygamy. You can go to whatloveisthis.tv/offer. We also offer a discussion group, a support group that we meet once a month, and it's open to anyone whose life has been touched by polygamy in any way. We'd love to have you join us. We have some very good meetings, very helpful meetings, and if you would like to join us, just let us know. Give us your contact information and we will get back with you. We meet the third Monday of every month at 6:30 p.m. and our next meeting is going to be June 21st. And if you're in a polygamy group and you feel like that you would like to have some help, or if you just need some questions asked, or it's just someone to talk to, we also will help you with that. We have a toll-free number, especially for people who are out of our local area, out of the Salt Lake City area. You can call us toll-free. We can offer you a support system if you want to leave a polygamy group. And we can help you leave. We can help you get out. We can help you after you leave as well. And you can call our toll-free number 877-425-9993. We would love to help you. Our guest next week is Michael Wilder. Michael Wilder is the father to a couple of the young men who are in the Adams Road Band, and many of you may be familiar with them. They're a group of musicians who were once Mormon, and they each discovered that their doctrine that they were believing in was unbiblical and therefore untrue. So they studied themselves right out of the church and into the truth, which of course changes your eternal destiny. Michael and his wife Lynn also both were Mormons, and they also studied themselves right out of the LDS church and into the arms of Jesus. So we will be hearing Michael's story about his journey out and what part the doctrine of polygamy played in his decision. Tonight, I would like to express how grateful we are to TV20 and its management for the opportunity that they have given us. And of course, we are very deeply grateful and thankful to God for this great challenge that He has afforded us to proclaim His truth and glory over the Utah television landscape. Tonight is our 100th show. Now, originally, we were going to celebrate tonight on the show and after the show, but there were so many scheduling conflicts, we just were unable to do that. So we've decided to do it on Thursday night, July 1st, instead. And so for those of you who would like to participate in the live audience for our 100th show and then join us for refreshments afterwards, please consider this your official invitation to join us. We would love to have you come. The live program, of course, begins at 8 o'clock, and so we would ask you to be here at the studio on July 1st at 7:30 or by 7:30 p.m. because no one will be admitted inside the studio after the live show begins. The studio is located at 314 South Redwood Road, and right now I'd like to ask for your help if you're inclined to help. Our high-tech creative genius is Scott Johnson, and he is assembling a collage of short clips of viewers' favorite moments from the past 100 shows. And he's putting a ton of time and effort into getting this together. And you can help us by submitting some of your favorite moments of the past shows that you've watched. And of course, we're looking for short 10 to 15 minute segments. And it can be funny, or it can be a faux pas, or it can be serious, controversial, sad, anything that you would like to see put in this collage. Just go to whatloveisthis.tv and you can click onto all of our previous shows are there. Find the number of the episode and then watch it at the bottom of the screen. There's a little dot. You can click on that and it'll show you how many minutes and seconds into the show your favorite clip is, and then just email it to us. The show number and the seconds and minutes into the show, and you can email it to us at tv@aboutpolygamy.com. We do hope to see you all there as we celebrate our 100th show on July 1st. We have been discussing in some of our past shows the history of Joseph Smith's proposals of plural marriage to various women who turned him down. Now, it didn't seem to matter to Joseph Smith if the women that he proposed plural marriage to were either married or single. He approached them anyway and would ask them, but some of them had the courage to say no. Tonight, we're going to discuss another one, and this would be Hiram Kimball's wife, Sarah. She is another one that got away. Hiram Kimball was a wealthy merchant in Nauvoo, and he and Sarah got married September 1840, but it wasn't even quite 2 years later when, early of 1842, Joseph Smith approached Sarah, a married woman, remember, and proposed that she become his spiritual wife. Now, this is what she said about the incident. She said, "Early in the year of 1842, Joseph Smith taught me the principle of marriage for eternity and the doctrine of plural marriage. He said that in teaching this, he realized that he jeopardized his life, but God had revealed it to him many years before as a privilege with blessings." Now, I'd like to stop her narrative right here and make some observation. Doesn't his description of polygamy being a privilege with blessings raise some questions in your mind? Emma didn't find it a privilege with blessings. And the rest of his 33 wives didn't find it a privilege with blessings. And most of the polygamist wives of today do not find polygamy as a privilege with blessings. And if it was a privilege with blessings, why did he refuse those blessings until he claimed God sent an angel with a sword threatening to kill him until he decided to live this principle that God had previously condemned? Lots of questions. In fact, if you don't have questions like this in your mind, why not? There are just too many contradictions. Well, back to what Sarah said Smith told her. She said that he told her that God had revealed polygamy again and instructed him to teach it with commandment. Of course, that means that God told him, you gotta do it. It's a commandment. And that the church could progress no further until he introduced this principle. Now, Sarah said, I asked him to teach it to someone else. He looked at me reprovingly and said, will you tell me who to teach it to? God required me to teach it to you and leave you with the responsibility of believing or disbelieving, end quote. So he puts the burden on her. He puts the guilt trip on her, makes it look like it. She's the one in disobedience if she doesn't fall at his feet and agree to be his plural wife. And a question I have here also is, why would he offer celestial or plural marriage to someone else's wife? Smith told her that he realized he jeopardized his life by revealing this principle. We know that he is proposing polygamy here to her. The eternal marriage, the celestial marriage doctrine all by itself would not jeopardize his life, but polygamy could. I say this because today's Mormons claim that Section 132 of the Doctrine and Covenants is not about polygamy. They claim it's about plural or celestial marriage, which in those days were synonymous with polygamy. Well, to her credit, Sarah remained faithful to her husband, and she refused Joseph Smith's proposal. She, she and her husband, Hiram, probably didn't publicly disclose Joseph Smith's insult, but they apparently had some difficulty over it. And later at a meeting that Hiram and Joseph Smith were attending, Joseph Smith jotted down a so-called revelation on a piece of paper, and then he threw it across the room to Hiram. And on that paper he had written, "Hiram Kimball has been insinuating evil and formulating evil opinions against the prophet, which if he does not desist from, he shall be accursed." Well, Joseph Smith obviously was having some fear of being found out publicly of his proposal to Sarah, and that's probably what precipitated this ungodly reaction against Hiram. But honestly, folks, this is not the way that God ever gave revelation. Their response to him is unknown, but they remained lifetime members of the LDS Church, and Sarah remained a wife to Hiram all of her days. Although they did remain faithful members, to neither Hiram nor his wife, from all indication, never became entangled in Joseph Smith's deceits and his shenanigans. She was a prominent Nauvoo and later a Salt Lake City Relief Society leader, and she is said to have had a strong commitment to the church and loyalty to its leaders. Unfortunately and sadly, we hear that phrase echoing down the decades of time since the beginning of Joseph Smith's Mormonism. Her commitment to the church was seriously misplaced. Her commitment should have been to God only. Anything else he calls idolatry. Now, I have some questions from this story to our viewers, especially those who defend early Mormon polygamy. For a long time, we have been discussing Joseph Smith's several proposals and actual marriages to women who were already married and living with their husbands. We get no response, no outrage at all from polygamists or from the LDS about these indiscretions. Is this behavior okay with you? Is this right? We really would like to hear from you. If it's not right, why isn't it? And if it is right, why is it right? Doesn't it even seem to you that it might be just a little bit transgressing some of God's laws for him to be doing this? We've also discussed historical accounts where Joseph Smith approached single women to become his plural wives, and one of them that we discussed just recently, he told her that if she accepted his proposal, she could still go out and marry someone else of her own choice, that wouldn't stop her. Isn't something wrong with that suggestion? Why don't we hear any response from our viewers on that? And what about Joseph Smith's marriage to 14, 15, and 16-year-old girls when he's more than twice their age at the time of the proposal or the marriage? Is this behavior okay with you? Do you believe it's okay with God? Do you truly believe that he condones or commands this behavior? Wouldn't or shouldn't people expect better behavior from a prophet? If you want me to repeat these questions, I will, but I really believe that we need to hear from the ranks of those who defend polygamy on some of these issues. Okay, also tonight, we want to continue with our discovery of truth by taking up Brigham Young's challenge when he said in 1873, take up the Bible, compare the religion of the Latter-day Saints with it, and see if it stands the test. Well, we've been doing that, and our test tonight is with the doctrine that claims that Elohim, which is their name for God, had sexual relations with the Virgin Mary to beget Jesus. Now, we briefly touched on this subject in November of 2009, but tonight we're going to compare the doctrines more deeply and with more detail. We quote from the Journal of Discourses, August 1866, where Brigham Young said the following about the birth of Jesus Christ. He said, "The man Joseph, the husband of Mary, did not, that we know of, have more than one wife. But Mary, the wife of Joseph, had another husband. That very babe that was cradled in the manger was begotten, not by Joseph, the husband of Mary, but by another being. Do you inquire by whom? He was begotten by God, our Heavenly Father." And then he goes on. Now he cautions this, and listen very carefully, as Brigham Young says, "This answer may suffice you. You need never inquire more upon this point." Brigham Young taught that God the Father came down and had sex with Mary. And then he said, "Don't ever bother to check this out, what I just told you. Just believe it. Just believe what I said, no matter what, because your leaders will never lead you astray." Well, you know what? They have led you astray with doctrines like this one. And the leaders of today's polygamy and of today's Mormonism are just as guilty of leading their people astray by false doctrines. Jesus said false prophets would come. He said false Christs would come. And this is an excellent example of his warning. And don't be offended. Don't, instead, be questioning and be grateful, because you still have the opportunity to find out the truth. You see, none of us know when we're going to drop over dead. And then it'll be too late. We don't get a second chance. Neither the Bible nor the Book of Mormon supports the idea of getting a second chance. Your choice is made here, or it's too late. Now, back to the quotes on this. Orson Pratt of the Seer, page 158, said this: "The fleshly body of Jesus required a mother as well as a father. The father and mother of Jesus, according to the flesh, must have been associated together in the capacity of husband and wife. Hence, the Virgin Mary must have been, for the time being, the lawful wife of God the Father. Ezra Taft Benson taught that Jesus Christ is the Son of God in the most literal sense, literal meaning sexual relations between Mary and God. And we have a graphic that we want to show you up on the screen. It's from the Family Home Evening Manual of 1972. It's pretty recently compared to the early doctrines. And it's on page 126. We have the following illustration that shows that God and Mary together produced Jesus the same way that a husband and wife together produce their children. You can see the mother and the mommy equals you. This is what's in the Family Home Evening Manual. And then the same graphic says, our Heavenly Father plus Mary equals Jesus. This illustrates that through the physical coming together, God and Mary had sex. Now, this is original LDS doctrine of the conception and the birth of Jesus Christ, and was instructed in the Family Home Evening Manual. Okay, let's compare these teachings with the Bible, as Brigham Young suggested we do. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 says, and God is talking to the serpent in the Garden of Eden. He says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is talking about the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman is virgin birth. Not the seed of the man, but of the woman. That's the first prophecy of the virgin birth. And of course, the seed was Jesus Christ. Now, when he says, "It shall bruise thy head," that's talking about the seed is going to bruise the head of the serpent. Kind of makes you wonder how they can be brothers, doesn't it? Jesus and Lucifer, brothers? He's the serpent. Anyway, the serpent is the devil. Makes you wonder. Think about it. We read in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." So we have a prediction here, 700 years before Christ is born, that a virgin is going to conceive. Matthew 1:18 and 20 and 22 through 23 says this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Fulfilling Isaiah 7:14 in this last verse. And then we go to Luke 1:35. "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Jesus was conceived without the intervention of sexual activity of any kind whatsoever. It was a miracle. When it says the virgin shall be with child, she's a virgin while she's pregnant. When it says that the virgin will give birth, or born of a virgin, it means she was still a virgin when he was born. Brigham Young and Orson Pratt and Joseph Fielding Smith and Bruce McConkie and so many others denied that Jesus was begotten miraculously by the Holy Ghost. Now sit down for this one. Melvin J. Ballard said this, "The Holy Ghost merely sustained Mary while God had sex with her." The Mormons and the Mormon fundamentalist explanations of Jesus' conception are unbiblical and in some cases highly revolting. The Bible clearly teaches that Jesus was miraculously conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and by nothing or no one else. Contrasting what we've discovered from early Mormon teaching with what the Bible teaches, we wonder at Brigham Young's remarks, April of 1852, Journal of Discourses, Volume 1, where he said, "Now remember from this time forth and forever that Jesus Christ was not begotten by the Holy Ghost." Blatant contradiction. Just like the serpent in the Garden of Eden said to Eve, "Thou shalt not surely die," calling God a liar. Brigham Young and the others also called God a liar when these so-called prophets contradict him by saying Jesus wasn't conceived by the Holy Ghost. So we take up the Bible and we compare Mormon doctrine with it again and again, and it always fails the test. It always will fail the test. Always. One last comment regarding the Holy Spirit. He is not an it. Okay? Too many people who don't quite know how to handle the Holy Spirit and they don't understand him call him an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is God. And it's highly disrespectful to call God an it. Okay. Tonight we want to open up the telephone lines. Like right now, we'll open them up. Actually, you can start calling in if you'd like to make comments of some of what we've talked about tonight. And we'll continue with our dialogue. We don't have a guest, so we kind of have a freedom to move back and forth in topics, so you can call and discuss anything within reason on the polygamy thing. And also, please remember that when you get on the line, turn down the volume of your television. There is a short time delay, and some people want to hear themselves on TV and talk on the phone and say, and it just doesn't work. It's too confusing. So be sure that you turn down your volume on your TV. And we also want to tell those who call in and rant, and they don't allow us to give a word in edgewise, we will continue to disconnect anyone who doesn't allow a two-way conversation or who is rude. So we had to hang up last week on three people, and I didn't like to do that, but they wouldn't let any conversation take place. They just ranted, and so we will disconnect them. Our telephone number is 801-973-8820. Feel free to start calling in now. Now, I'd like to ask our viewers some questions based on what we've already talked about. Who do you think is correct about the virgin birth? Do you believe it was the early Mormon leaders or the Bible? Now, it can't be both. It's got to be either one or the other. And I also have another question I'd like to ask. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And so I would like to know why you are placing your faith in the things and the people of this world. Some folks see religion as being faith-based. All religion is being faith-based, and actually that's true. Humanism, evolution, atheism, polygamy, the lady who throws her baby to the alligator god at the Ganges River, all of them are faith-based. The question isn't, do you have faith or do you have enough faith, but what or who is the object of your faith? It can be compared to your choice of airplanes. Let's say you're going on a trip and you get to choose the airplane you're going to fly away in. You look at the planes and there's one that has two wings and a tail, or there's a plane with two wings and no tail. Believing that your faith will replace the missing tail, you choose that plane. Well, you have faith, but it's in an unworthy object. Your faith may be as strong as the person who chooses the plane that's fully equipped, maybe even stronger. In fact, probably is stronger, but the object of your faith in the broken plane is unworthy of your faith and trust. We suggest that you study to find the worthiness of who or what you have placed your faith in for eternity. The Bible tells us that Jesus alone is worthy. And that means you can throw out your church, you can throw out your living prophet, you can throw out your works, you can throw out your polygamy, you can throw out your founder, and everything else. Throw it all away except Jesus Christ, and you've still got everything that you need because He is everything that we need. So why be burdened down with all that other stuff? Just get rid of it. You can trust the one who died for you. Okay. We do have some calls coming in here. I've got line one, Kelly from Davis County. Hello, Kelly.
Hi.
Hi, well, Kelly. You're on the air.
Okay. Well, I appreciated your comments earlier about why don't we question the practice of polygamy in the history of Mormonism. And I realize I'm a little further down this path than most people, but I wonder why we, those of us who question polygamy, continue to give it validity by using the terminology that Joseph Smith used. Why do we call it polygamy? Why don't we call it what it is, which is sexual perversion or rape?
Well, in some cases it is rape. I wouldn't say it is in every case. And Joseph Smith really referred to it as celestial marriage or spiritual wifery. Or the principle. I don't know if he really referred to it himself a lot as polygamy, but that is what it is. But you've got a good point there, redefining something or using a word that doesn't fully cover the descriptively what's going on.
Yes, I think that we're being a little too generous in referring it to it as polygamy. I think that we should be a little bit more descriptive, and I'm not sure that my terms are correct, but I think we should call it for what it is, and I think it is, from my perspective, sexual perversion or rape.
Well, it certainly wasn't something that God ordained in the Bible, and of course they claim it is, but it's something that he did not want. And you read Leviticus 18 and parts of Leviticus 20, you find where God has condemned certain sexual activity, and much of what the polygamists do is condemned in the Bible. So I appreciate your call. That certainly is a good point.
Thank you for what you do, Doris.
Thank you, Kelly, for calling.
Bye-bye.
Uh-huh, good night. Okay, line 3, we have Brett in Heber City. Hello, Brett.
Hi.
Hello, Brett. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am just wonderful.
Good. What's your question or your comment?
Well, my question was like on some of your doctrine and whatnot. The delay on the TV is kind of weird. I'm trying to find a spot in the house that I can't hear you.
Well, turn the volume of your TV down. You ought to be fine.
Oh, okay. I'll tell him that to turn the volume down. I'm with my brother.
Okay.
Turn it down, Tammy. Okay, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, some of what you just talked about.
Uh-huh.
On religion, like the Book of Mormon based on the Bible and all the discrepancies in between the Bible and the Book of Mormon. But I haven't heard anything about discrepancies in the Bible or any of that doctrine.
That's because there isn't any.
Also, was there any opinion on gay marriage or gay and lesbianism?
Well, you know, Brett, our whole issue here is about polygamy and how it's dealt with the early Mormons, present-day polygamy groups, and present culture. So we're not going to be talking about those issues tonight. Do you have anything that you'd like to talk about?
Polygamy, it's kind of sick and messed up.
Are you LDS?
You can't put a religion on that. It's more of a personal freedom if somebody actually wants. If two parties are consenting and saying, oh, okay, like, we'll get married, then if they're okay with having more than a couple of wives, or, you know, then that's an individual issue, not a religious issue.
Brett, are you LDS? Do you have an LDS background?
I grew up LDS, kind of agnostic and mm-hmm. kind of just peaceful.
Well, if you grew up LDS, then you know that Joseph Smith put a religious aspect to polygamy. He said he had a revelation from God. God told them that they must live polygamy or they would be damned. It's in section 132. Brigham Young taught the same thing as well as the other early Mormon leaders. And so they are the ones.
You know, build a Mormon militia and an army.
Well, we're talking about polygamy here, see? So
That was the whole reason for Joseph Smith to actually do that.
To do what? What did you just say?
For Joseph Smith's reason for polygamy was to help boost the numbers of his church. He was a really smart guy. He was like an entrepreneur.
You know what, Brett? You can take one man with 7 wives, and they will have no more children than 7 men with 1 wife each. You know, and a lot of men go without wives in the polygamous community. I'm here to tell you. That was not brilliant, that was stupid. And it ended up killing him, actually. It was polygamy all the way through that ended up him getting shot.
Yes, I actually, my parents took me on a vacation once to see that the Carthage jail, you know, and like Nauvoo, Illinois, it was all this big deal, you know. But I thought it was all kind of silly, just because...
Well, it's pretty serious, Brett.
I appreciate people were just like, hey, get the crap out of here, you know.
Brett, I do appreciate your phone call, and I appreciate your comments. But polygamy has people in the stranglehold of a false salvation, and that's why we do the show. We want them to see the simplicity and the beauty of salvation in Jesus Christ alone without polygamy. So we do appreciate your call, and we hope that you'll turn from agnostic to following Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you. That's hilarious. Thank you.
Good night. I don't know what was funny about that. I was serious. Okay, I would like to read an email. We do have some calls, but they're not quite ready to be answered yet, so I'm going to answer an email here that came from a woman by the name of Christine. She said, I'm from Colorado and was transplanted to Utah. I'm a Christian, thank God. I think life would really be confusing if I had been born and raised as a fundamental Mormon or just Mormon. It's so nice to be able to sit in my living room and see a program on Mormons from a Christian perspective. Thank you. I just got so sick of the attitude any Mormon takes about Mormonism and how it is the only true religion. It is obvious that these people are brainwashed, starting from earlier than they can even remember, onto what to believe and how to believe it. Then, and perhaps the worst, told not to question their leader's words and never go outside their faith to discover or learn anything more than what has already been told them. Viewers obviously only pretend to appreciate your right to have your own opinion. Then they turn and accuse you of something you haven't even said and continue with their agenda without listening. Truly listening to what you're saying. Just a good example of how powerful their brainwashing techniques can be, I guess. Thank you. It feels good to vent a little bit. Well, thank you, Christine, for your email. And my answer to what she said is this. It is true that many people who move to Utah from another state or another country will experience some profound culture shock when they set up life in the Utah Mormon culture. And it's also true that Christians from everywhere that are transplanted into this culture very quickly and easily recognize that Mormonism is not Christian. And the early Mormon polygamists, the early polygamous Mormons, didn't even want to be connected with Christians or Christianity. In fact, Joseph Smith claimed that God told him that all the creeds of the Christian churches were an abomination in his sight, that those professors or the pastors, those who profess Christianity, were all corrupt. He said God had forbid him to join with any of them. Now, his vision, where he got this information, supposedly occurred March 26th of 1820. But 8 years later, in 1828, Joseph Smith joined the Methodist Church. Why did he blatantly disobey? He said it was God's commandment not to join, and he did. True Christian churches are no different today than they were in the days when Joseph Smith decried Christianity. Today's Christians believe and follow the same doctrine, the same Bible, the same plan of salvation, the same God, the same Jesus Christ, with no changes, because no changes are needed. God got it right from the very beginning. Early Mormons did not want to be connected with Christians in any way, but now they do. Why? If you want to be Christian, become one. Then join a Christian church and be one. But don't redefine Christianity and then call yourselves Christians. You aren't fooling God. There are no changes in true Christianity today from Smith's days, and polygamy has no place in Christianity whatsoever. And finally, the standard for defining Christianity comes from the Bible only. It doesn't come from you, it doesn't come from me, it doesn't come from any entity, but the Bible itself. So thank you, Christine, for your email. Okay, we have a call coming in from Kenneth in Spring City. Hello, Kenneth.
Hello.
Oh, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I just wanted to say hi, and we really appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you. Is this Kenneth who was on the show a few months ago?
Yeah.
I thought I recognized your voice. How are you doing?
Oh, good.
Good, good. Our caller was a guest on the show last, what, November, or January, wasn't it? He was from the Harmston Polygamy.
Yeah, January.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, January 7th, I guess.
Yeah, Yeah, well, it's good to hear from you. I'm glad you could enjoy the show.
Yeah, we really appreciate what you're doing. Love you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. How's the Harmstons doing down there in Manti?
I don't know. I stay away from them.
Well, that's good. So we just need to pray that they'll see the light of Jesus and let go of all this other stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
Did you have a particular question or comment about our topics tonight?
No, just I agree with you. I really appreciate what you're doing.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Kenneth. Appreciate your call. It's encouraging.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Uh-huh. Good night. Okay, you'll have to go back and watch our archives and watch our interview with him. He had been a member of the Harmston group in Manti. Told us a little bit about that. Okay, I have another email that I would like to share. And this is just a short email. Actually, I'd been communicating by email with this viewer for some time, and I had closed one of my emails to him with this comment. I said, "I'm praying that you will discover the truth in Jesus Christ." And his reply was this: "I have found the truth in Jesus. He gave it to us through the prophet Joseph Smith." Well, I just wanted to cry when I received his answer, because it's a very sad, deluded, and stubborn answer. Truth did not come through Joseph Smith. It came through Jesus Christ, and it came through him exclusively. You know, the truth cannot lie. And Joseph Smith lied profusely about many things. Just read his history on lies about polygamy alone. The Bible says in John 1:17, that grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. It came through Jesus Christ. It didn't say it came through Joseph Smith. This is just one reason why Mormonism is not accepted as being Christian. 1 Timothy 2:5 tells us that there is only one God. You hear that? Just one God. And one mediator between God and man. And that is Jesus Christ. Not Joseph Smith. Not the Mormon church, just Jesus, one mediator. It's all Jesus. No one else is needed, and no one else is accepted or acceptable. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me." Jesus is the way. He is the truth, not Joseph Smith. So are we to believe that in this dispensation of Mormonism that Joseph is now the truth? John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." And in Mark 13:31, Jesus promised. He said, "Heaven and earth would pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Now, what does the word "not" mean? Jesus said his word wouldn't, and it didn't, ever get corrupted or pass away, ever. For the next 1830 years, it remained uncorrupted, and it remains uncorrupted today. Jesus, who is the truth, promised that we could trust his word. So why do people believe the arm of flesh? Why did they believe a young man who came along and disputed what Jesus had promised? Joseph Smith claimed Jesus' word had passed away. Jesus said it wouldn't, and had become corrupted through corrupted people and through mistranslations through the century, in essence calling Jesus a liar. The truth cannot lie. And this serves to prove the true meaning of Romans chapter 1, verses 22, 23, and 25, where it says, verse 22, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man," which they've done to God. They've made him into a man. Verse 25, "who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the creator." God is not a man. He's never been a man. God is not a creature. He is the creator. We pray that this viewer and all those who have faith in what Joseph Smith said as being better and stronger than what Jesus said, that they will find the truth in Jesus Christ and in him exclusively. But we warn you in advance, This is our disclaimer. When one does find the truth in Jesus Christ, they will quickly dispose of Joseph Smith. And we think that that's why they won't search. Now read the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. Chapter 3, verse 19 and 20, and it will explain what I just said. Okay, we have a couple of calls here. Line 3, we have Jody in South Jordan. Hello, Jody.
Yes.
You're on the air.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Hey, I have just checked your program. I don't know anything about you. I was just kind of wondering what a little bit about your life, you know, if you were raised in the LDS church or...
I was raised in a polygamy group. I was born and raised in a polygamy group.
What was it, in Utah, or what
were
your names?
Yeah, the Kingston Polygamy Group.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering why you are anti-Mormon when the Kingston Polygamy Group didn't have anything to do with Mormons.
We were taught Mormon doctrine from the time we were in diapers. We were taught Mormon doctrine from the very beginning. Book of Mormon, Pearl of Great Price, Doctrine and Covenants, every word that came out of Joseph Smith's mouth, we were taught it all.
I just wanted to pose a question to you. You were just talking about, you know, the truth and finding the truth. And do you have your own set of church now, or your own based religion?
Yes, I'm a Christian.
A Christian? Are you affiliated with, like, the born-again Christian, or...?
The only Christian is a born-again Christian.
Okay, I'm just saying, look how many millions are in the LDS Church, and they're converting all the time, 16, 17 million.
That proves nothing.
And I think that's pretty outstanding numbers that people have found the truth in the LDS Church compared to the numbers. I just turned on your program, and you said that you... had to disconnect some callers because they were pretty upset, but when you answer these questions against the Mormon Church, you seem to be very defensive and kind of a meanness in your eyes that's sad. That,
Jody,
you know, this isn't anything that Jesus...
Jody, let me say something here, because if you just go on and don't let me say something in return. I asked some questions at the beginning of the telephone time, and I would really like to hear your answer on this. What do you think about Joseph Smith approaching, propositioning, and marrying women who were already married?
You know what? I think that a lot of the stuff that's written out there is written anti
Jody have
him.
Jody that
and I
that, Jody Jody
that
Jody was, that book that I'm talking about was written by a Mormon in good standing. It's called In Sacred Loneliness, and he is a Mormon today. He was a Mormon when he wrote the book. All of the footnotes are there, all of the journal entries, the proof is there. Joseph Smith married at least 11 women who were already married and living with their husbands. He married 14-year-old Helen Mar Kimball. He married 15, 16-year-old girls when he was 36, 37 years old. Is that okay?
Is
that okay, Jody?
Jody. But I'm just saying is...
Jody...
There's
is that
so
okay,
much
Jody?
Anti stuff out there, and you're trying to put it forth, and that's sad.
Jody, is that,
you know,
okay for Joseph Smith to do that?
Know that the church is true, and I guess, you know, I'm sorry that you don't have that in you, and it's sad that you have to go around and do that because I.
Okay. We'll do line one. Bob in Mapleton. Hello, Bob. Hello, Bob.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
I have a special reason for hating early Mormon polygamy and Joseph Smith.
I can barely hear you. Can you talk closer to the phone or speak up?
Okay, I'll start over again. Can you hear me
that's,
now?
That's better. Thank you.
Better?
Yes, much better. Thank you.
All right. Doris.
Yes.
I have a special reason for hating early Mormon polygamy and Joseph Smith. As you can tell, my speech is marred by a cleft palate and a hair lip. I believe it was caused by my ancestors' polygamy with all of its incest and inbreeding and so on. My question, do you understand why I am annoyed with Mormon polygamy?
I can understand that. Did you see our show last week?
Yes, I did. In fact, that's why I'm
Okay, yeah, I've seen a lot of incest in polygamy today, and they're still practicing incest in some of these groups. And there are a lot of defects as a result of it, yes. We are supposed to hate what is evil and love what is good. Are you there, Bob?
I'm still here.
Okay.
I believe you.
Uh-huh. Thank
you for your comment.
And so have you got polygamy very, I mean, how far back in your ancestry was polygamy?
It's on my mother's side, and I believe it started with my great-grandfather's father. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I should know more about it because our family has kept records, but
mm-hmm.
I do know that my early Mormon ancestry in Utah were polygamists.
Mm-hmm. So are you LDS now, or have you moved away from that faith, period?
I had a wonderful wife for 48 years. She died 3 years ago, so I did everything I could to support her, but I'm not very active since then.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be careful, though, because my children are
yes.
active.
Yes, I understand that, but you need to also consider your own soul. I would highly recommend that you get in the Bible and just start reading it. You'll find so much comfort in the truth of God's Word. I'd start with the Gospel of John, Bob, and I think that you'll find many things in there if you just ask God to show you what He wants you to know.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for calling. Good night.
Bye.
Night. Okay, thank you, Bob. Line 2, Kim from Manti. Hello, Kim.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air, Kim.
Hi, Doris.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Congratulations.
On the 100th?
The 100th show.
Isn't it amazing?
Anyway, my question to you is, I've been reading the book In Sacred Loneliness
yes.
by Todd Compton.
Yes.
And in this book, I was surprised to see where a Nauvoo State President, William Marks, in 1853, he had a conversation with Joseph Smith, and at the time he said that Smith had doubts about polygamy right before his death.
Yeah.
And they, in the book, they quote the conversation, and it goes on saying how that Joseph Smith, he took a stand on the principle of polygamy, and he rendered it into the church, and Joseph became convinced before his death that he had done something wrong. And he told this brother Marx, he says, "We are a ruined people." And Marx says, "Well, why and how so?" And Joseph Smith said, "This doctrine," and I'm quoting this book, "this doctrine of polygamy or spiritual wife system that has been taught and practiced among us will prove our destruction and overthrown. I have been deceived," he said. "In reference to it, it is wrong, it is a curse to mankind, and we shall have to leave the United States soon unless we can put down and its practice stop in the church." Now, my question is, if this was a revelation from God given to Joseph Smith, why in the world would God deceive him with such a revelation?
What a good question. Absolutely wonderful question. And either way, if God did give it or if he didn't give it, and Joseph Smith is now admitting his guilt on all of this, either way, the foundation is totally shaky. It's like jello, you know.
Absolutely.
It's absolutely unbelievable and untrustworthy.
Yes.
Good
yes.
point. Very good
and
point.
And then even though he knew it was wrong, they went on and practiced it. What, 50-some-odd years after the manifesto that
uh-huh.
Young supposedly had it?
Yeah, from 1890 was the manifesto, and they continued practicing it until 1904 when they got serious about
anyway, when I read that, I was just like, you know, I was just taken back because I thought, you know what? You know, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He isn't the deceiver. We know that Satan is the great imposter and the great deceiver, and we know that this whole polygamy thing was straight from Satan.
That's true, and you know that when Satan comes to deceive us, he does so with such a good counterfeit, you can't even tell that it's not the original unless you really check it out. And that's why he's such a great deceiver, because he knows how to deceive. And he doesn't come saying, I'm the devil, I'm going to stick you with a pitchfork. He comes looking pretty, like an angel of light.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Sure he does.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
thank you, Kim.
That was my comment for tonight.
Well, thanks for calling.
Okay. Thanks, Doris.
We'll see you later.
Okay.
Bye. Okay. Line one. Tracy. Hello, Tracy.
Yes.
Is this Tracy?
Yes.
You're on the air.
Oh. You keep referencing that your faith is based upon the Word of God coming from the Bible, because that's where Christ's teachings are.
That's where God's Word is, yes.
But all of the Bibles, all of the versions of the Bible were written by men.
How do you know?
Where did the Bible come from?
How do you know how the Bible was written? I mean, you made a statement there. Have you studied that out? Have you looked and researched? Or are you just repeating what someone else said?
Well, I have done some research. I have never been able to conclude exactly where the Bible came from.
The Bible tells us that God spoke to man through the power of the Holy Spirit, speaking to them that they wrote what he wanted them to say without prevaricating one way or the other. They wrote exactly what he wanted them to say. And then he promised
to preserve it. But you understand that men said, I'm going to use the book of Matthew, and I'm going to use this epistle from Paul, and this epistle from Paul. Because there's all the great things that the Roman Catholics have, but you don't acknowledge those.
We acknowledge the canon of the Bible, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, and nothing else. Anything else added to it is what God has said we cannot do. So we don't acknowledge anything else. We're getting to the end of the show now, and I've got to hang up. So maybe you can email us, tv@aboutpolygamy.com, and we can continue this conversation.
Well,
okay. Thank you. Good night. Okay, we are towards the end of the show now, and we want to thank you for watching and for calling and participating in the program. You know, we've had questions before about Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, which teaches us that those at the great white throne judgment is going to be judged according to what they have done, in other words, their work. Now, this verse has been interpreted to mean that we will be saved by our works, but that is not what it says. Being judged by our works and being saved by our works is entirely different. In fact, the width, the wide on that is as wide as heaven is from hell. Being judged by works is guaranteed damnation, because every one of us have sinned. And those whose sins have been cleansed and washed away by Jesus Christ, by his blood shed on the cross, will not even be at the great white throne judgment, because our sins were paid for there. Romans 8:1 says, for now there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's not for those who are in polygamy or for those who are in the Mormon church, but for those who are in Christ Jesus. What are you in him? Do you even know what that means? You know, it's only all about Jesus. It's not about polygamy. It's not about your church. He died for your sins. He didn't die for our resurrection. He died for our sins. So just repent and don't try and be saved by your works, but be saved by trusting in him. He's the only one worthy of your faith. He's not the broken airplane. He's already done all your works, and all you need for him is his righteousness to be saved. Why would you rather work for it when he wants to give it to you? Remember, it's not CTR around here, it's CTT. Choose the truth. Thanks for watching. See you next week. Good night.
This has been the audio podcast edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? This program is a production of A Shield and Refuge Ministry and Main Street Church of Brigham City. You can view current and past video episodes, as well as download audio episodes of this program, at whatloveisthis.tv. If you or someone you know is in need of assistance in leaving a polygamous situation, please contact us. We are here to help. All of our contact information can be found at shieldandrefuge.org. Or call us at 877-425-9993. If you have any questions or comments about this or any of our other programs, we'd love to hear from you. Write us at email@whatloveisthis.tv. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again.